We want to get rid of anything in us that judges anyone. We shouldn't have to hear the whole long story of all the horrible things that's happened to them before we feel conviction for judging someone. So what is judging? We know the simple judging of just saying something like, I'm better than you, or I'm smarter than you, or I'm this, or I'm that. Judging with condemnation is, somebody asked me today, well, what's the difference between condemnation and guilt? I said, most of you don't have, condemnation is there's no hope, it's over. It'll never change. You're like this, nothing will ever change. That's condemnation. Anyone who's been able to receive any truth knows there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I know no matter how bad it's been, no matter how bad I am, no matter what is revealed to me, Jesus Christ paid for it and I'm going to heaven. I just got to come in agreement with the cross. Right? I don't think there's anybody in the room who really thinks they've done something so bad they're not going to heaven. Okay, so we've dealt with that, so that's cool. But guilt is a thing where you still pay the price by trying to overcompensate. You still pay the price by trying to make others see you as different, or you're doing it. Your works are trying to get to the end of it. Your works is trying to get rid of your guilt. Your works. So I really encourage you to get the guilt tapes. I think they're out. The guilt tapes are out. Some of you I've talked to you recently, I realize you didn't quite get the whole revelation from the guilt tapes in the conference. So you may want to get a hold of those. You got to get free from guilt, because guilt motivates works. Guilt is the fuel behind works that do not glorify God. Faith in God, relationship with God, is the power behind the works that glorify God. Okay, so you need to get a hold of that. All right, judging. So judging, for a passive-aggressive person, judging usually you don't say a word. But in your thinking, you say, that person is wrong, what they're doing. The hard part is like, yeah, but what if what that person is doing is so wrong? How do I not, you know, you are to discern. You need to discern what's operating. Judging is touching their motive, their reasoning, their thinking. Okay, let me go back to this example. I don't know what was her, Edie's judgment as to why her and Mikey were left out of the luncheon. Did you? What was your judgment about that? Just so your judgment was already, we're always left out. I'm the one who's the last to get invited. You know, maybe you didn't go as far as to try to judge why. Okay. But a lot of people would say, we're left out because we're not in the clique. And Marion's thinking, yeah, but she is in the clique. No, just kidding. You know, I mean, you see, do you see what I'm saying? But this is something else that came out. I was talking to somebody on Thursday, and it was like, wait a minute. You think, you don't realize how much you judge even yourself as inferior, and me and the people who are the closest to me as superior. Because why would you need to hang out? Why would you need to be invited to lunch? Why would it be more important to you? Why would you feel better about yourself if you went to lunch and you sat with, say, me and Karen and Donna and Edie than if you went to lunch and sat with Linda and Marion and Irene? You're the one making the judgment. Wait a minute. I'm not buying into anymore that if you get to be closer to me, that makes you somehow superior, and that makes it inferior if you're closer to somebody else in this building. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are drawn to people, hopefully by the Holy Spirit. You're going to hang out with people that you have more in common with. Jesus had three that he could really tell everything to. He had the 11 or the 12 that were very close to what was going on in his ministry. Then he had the 70 that he at least knew kind of by name, which would be pretty close to what we have here as a church. And then he had the 120, which was a little bit further. And then he had the multitudes. Now, is anyone here going to tell me that Jesus Christ, who says he made himself equal with man? I mean, if anyone could be superior, it is him. And he did rebuke them for having their jealousies and their quarrels and thinking about that, because he doesn't see things on that hierarchy. It's about callings. It's about what's practical. It's about relationships that are real. It's not about inferior and superior. But you've made it about inferior and superior when you let the devil tell you you're being left out. Left out of what? Go get your own little group and go to lunch. Rent your own retreat in Nag's Head. It's open to the general public. Call your few friends or your many friends. Some people only have a few friends, and some people have many friends. My husband is a person with few friends. He would rather have 4 or 5 close friends than 400 friends like me. That's personality. That's calling. That's gifting. If God's going to give you the calling to oversee a ministry, he's probably going to give you very high social skills and gifting to be able to hang out with a lot of people at one time and not feel like you're going nuts. My husband is much more comfortable sitting at a table with just 2 other people that he can just hold a conversation with. But if we have a big get-together with 30 people in there, I'm just as happy floating around from table to table talking to everybody. It's personality given to you by God for his purposes. It's gifting. It's calling for his purposes. We are the ones who make ourselves judges. And you really ought to repent to yourself and repent to other people that you would consider anybody more superior than they are. Are you getting what I'm saying? Who are we to be the judge of all that? Why can't we just have real relationships and enjoy exactly where they are? Why can't we just enjoy each person and see who has more in common with us that God pulls it together? Do you see what I'm saying? This kind of judging is so passive-aggressive that it tries to manipulate who people even hang out with. And if you buy into it, you're constantly trying to please man. And one thing you'll find out if you're constantly trying to please man, you will never please God. And you will never please enough people to ever feel happy or joy. Do you understand what I'm saying? We got to think, I watched, I probably shouldn't even say watch this, but I watched Mythbusters last night. I guess it was like a really boring moment in my life or something. And but it was like, where's Justin? I saw him. Did he leave? Yeah. Justin would love that job. I mean, I'm just praying he's going to have that in the spirit realm where he can throw in all that dynamite and just blow up stuff, you know, in the spirit realm. But they blew up this thing. Anyway, I'm watching. Why am I talking about that show? I haven't forgot my train of thought. But anyway, I have no idea. Oh, because that's what I'm seeing for this. We need to take and we need to blow this demon of judgment out of our brains. And some of that is making you see where you even do it that you don't know that you do it. People are drawn together for all kinds of different reasons. I mean, it's just going to happen. It's just part of being social. It's just part of the whole thing. Truthfully, you know, you can have we've busted down racism around here. You can look around and see you got black, Filipino, semi-Filipino, some, you know, we had Mexican, but he's in Mexico. We're believing for him to come back. But we'll send you over there for a while, bring him back. I'm just saying you have white, you have old, you have young, you have all different, you know, really, we're very hard to look around here and see a clique. It's a little scary. People are used to walking into church and finding a clique. They all look like me. If I walked in here and said, ooh, they all look like me, it'd be so scary. But y'all would say the same thing. Nobody looks like anybody unless you're identical twins. Then I think your fingerprints are different, aren't they? God's very creative. But the key is judging all that. Judging who's this. Oh, they're married or they're not married. Where's the single one? I would think just normal socializing skills that God's placed in us would kind of cause us to kind of hang out with people who we have something in common with. That's why Christians are supposed to fellowship with other Christians. That should be your biggest priority in fellowship. But sometimes you're not going to necessarily have the bookworm type hanging out with the construction type. Right? You're not a bookworm, okay? We don't have too many of those. But, I mean, you just got different things. Usually couples are going to hang out with couples a lot of times. You know, people who work in the office, we actually all like each other. We've cast the demons out of the stuff we don't like. It's kind of nice working here. It's because you're bugging me, you're either fired or we're getting the thing out. I don't like it anyway. You know, then they all approach me. Okay, we're stuck working here, so we're getting this out or we're leaving. You know, it kind of makes it nice. Not everybody has that option at work. But because of that, we all really, all different ages and everything, we really get along. We really enjoy. We really enjoy, for the most part, being here. It's good. You like it too, and you come hang out some. I'm just saying, God works all that out. So you can also enjoy people who don't have a lot in common with you. It's okay. Especially if you get free from this judging thing. You really should be able to enjoy everybody. You should like sitting down at a table different once in a while and learning something about somebody. You know? We really need to repent for judging anybody, even if it's thinking you're better than somebody, or thinking you're less than somebody, or thinking somebody else would be better to hang out with than somebody else for a reason that makes you feel better about yourself. All of it's judging. Who cares who goes to eat with Owen? If you want to eat around here, one thing I've learned, if you just say, hey, does anybody want to go eat? I've yet to see anybody standing there saying, no, there's not a single person who wants to go. And if nobody wants to go eat with you, you probably need to get rid of a foul spirit. And we got groups to help you. Because really, the only people that no one wants to hang out with is somebody with a foul spirit. And around here, people have so much love and compassion, they'll still hang out with people with foul spirits for a while. But the key would be to get free from that thing so that people like hanging out with you. Maybe get really real in your groups and say, you know, if you really feel a lot of rejection, you feel like you're being left out a lot, maybe you ought to get really open and say, okay, I'm about to let you, you're about to destroy me here, but I really want to hear the truth. What is it about me that makes people not want to hang out with me? And that I encourage you to speak as much in love as you can when you tell the person.